At a time when the world feels increasingly complex, thoughtful conversation matters more than ever. On Thursday, June 5th, New Yorker writer Evan Osnos will participate in a WSHU Join the Conversation event at the SHU Community Theater. He'll discuss clarity in a year of uncertainty and take your questions. Find details and ticket information at WSHU.org.
U.S. Education Secretary Linda McMahon says New York State's ban on Native American imagery in school mascots violates federal civil rights laws. She visited Massapequa High School today, where officials have refused to retire their chief's mascot, a Native American wearing a headdress.
I think you have to treat everybody equally. And this is a racist environment where we are saying that this emblem and this mascot has to be removed.
She says the state faces a civil rights investigation by the U.S. Justice Department if they don't allow Massapequa to keep the chief's mascot. State law does allow Native American mascots as long as the district gets approval from local tribes. Hey, and happy Friday. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Coming up, a conversation with producer Julian Schlossberg, who will be on Long Island this weekend. But first, a new poll reveals Connecticut voters are pretty much split on their feelings on the governor. One of horse racing's most prestigious events is coming to the new Belmont Park. Plus, President Trump says New Haven and other cities are not compliant with federal immigration policy. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. A new poll from the University of New Hampshire found that just over half of Connecticut residents approve how Democratic Governor Ned Lamont is doing. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
Around 870 people participated in the online poll. 48% said they were Democrats, 35% were Republicans, and 16% were independent. 80% of the Democrats surveyed said they approved of Lamont. Only 13% of Republicans felt the same way. Lamont has not yet announced whether or not he'll run for a third four-year term. 39% of respondents said they think he should. 44% said he shouldn't. Respondents were also asked what the top issues facing the state were. The top two answers by far were taxes and cost of living. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The Democratic majority in the Connecticut House is expected to approve a controversial bill today that Democratic Governor Ned Lamont has promised to veto. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The bill would allow striking workers to be eligible for unemployment benefits. Speaker Matt Ritter defended the Democratic caucus's decision to vote on a bill that faced a certain veto from Lamont, considering a similar bill failed last year.
We're pretty good about if the governor says, I'm not going to get there, we'll try to work with him and respect that. But this is one exception because I think it's just been year three and it would come back next year anyway. So at some point, you let democracy take over and you see what happens.
Republican House Minority Leader Vincent Candelaro says the bill would make the state unfriendly for businesses like Pratt & Whitney, who just this week resolved a strike with 3,000 of their machinists.
There is a real concern that a company like Pratt & Whitney would relocate to North Carolina. We all know that.
The bill had earlier passed along party lines in the Senate, where Democrats also have a substantial majority. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
One of horse racing's most prestigious events is coming to the new Belmont Park. The Breeders' Cup World Championships will set up shop at the Long Island Track in October 2027. It's a high-profile event that features some of the best horses in the world racing for big-dollar purses. Governor Hochul says the top horses, jockeys, and trainers will all be there.
And what I love is the keeper of the economy, the 50,000 fans who will follow them, opening up their wallets to support our restaurants, our hotels, and all of our other attractions.
Belmont has been closed since last year for extensive renovations funded by a $455 million state loan. The new track is expected to open next year. There's hardly a job in showbiz that Julian Schlossberg hasn't done. He'll be at Long Island's Cinema Arts Center to share some of those stories this weekend. And coming up, he speaks to WSHU.
local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
New York State is raising the pay for jurors to $72 a day. The change is set to start on June 8th. It's the first such increase in nearly 30 years, and it almost doubles the daily pay for jurors in the state. A regular audit of the Connecticut Department of Children and Families found more than a dozen failings in the state's foster care system. Among them, a foster parent who was also a daycare provider got paid nearly $20,000 to look after their own kids. The DCF says it resolved 8 problems from its audit. The western half of the Babylon LIRR station is open to the public after an 8-month-long, $125 million renovation. The eastern half will close this September for similar upgrades. They include new elevators, more lighting, and a system to melt ice and snow. 6 Connecticut cities and the state itself have been identified by the Trump administration as being non-compliant with federal immigration policy. New Haven was on the list. Police Chief Carl Jacobson says the city's policy isn't to help with federal immigration operations, and that won't change.
There's more immigrant population here that are victims that need our help, and we can't have them in fear of the police. And that's all it is. So I'm extremely confused by this because there hasn't been a problem since 2007, and all of a sudden there's a problem.
In a statement, Governor Lamont said state law is, quote, consistent with federal constitutional standards and reflects sound public safety priorities.
This is All Things Considered. I'm Randy Kaye. Well, there is hardly a job in the entertainment business that Julian Schlossberg has not done. Producer for TV, film, and theater, a record producer, a film distributor, a director, radio and TV host, and oh yeah, did I mention he also has a podcast, Movie Talk. Well, this man has stories. Boy, does he have stories. And this Sunday, he'll be at the Cinema Arts Center on Long Island to share those tales and for a screening of his 1990 comedy thriller, In the Spirit. The incomparable Julian Schlossberg joins me now on the phone. Welcome back, Julian.
Thank you, Randy.
Attendees at this event at Cinema Arts Center can also get their copies of your memoir, Try Not to Hold It Against Me, A Producer's Life. They can get the book, they can get it signed, and then the sequel will be available. So why a sequel? What did you leave unsaid?
I think you always have to leave a lot unsaid when you write a memoir. But what had happened, Randy, was I ended up doing an enormous amount of podcasts and interviews, and I realized people were asking me questions, and I started thinking, my God, I never talked about that, or, oh, I didn't say anything about that. I wonder if I have enough for a second book. So I wrote a chapter or two, and then the brain, as you know, is like a computer. You kind of unlock things, and all of a sudden I was downloading stories, and I felt I had another book. And recently someone said, how about a third book? And I said, will you leave me alone?
I'm betting in about 2 years there'll be another sequel coming out, because you're still active and you're still doing your podcast.
Yes.
But looking at your bio, you've worn a lot of hats, and it seems like you know everybody in the industry, and yet, like those of us who work in radio, you could probably go out to dinner with non-famous friends, and you could eat your dinner. Like, you wouldn't be instantly recognizable. You wouldn't be interrupted by people wanting autographs or selfies. Does this kind of jibe with your childhood dreams, or did you want to be, like, recognizable and famous?
As a young kid, I wanted to be recognizable and famous. Now I'd pay not to be recognizable and famous. Well, I was just going to say, I lived in Manhattan for many years, and I was waiting for a taxi when a taxi pulled up and stopped. And it was a wonderful writer named Paddy Chayefsky.
Oh.
And he asked, where are you going? I said, I'm going to 57. Come on, get in. So I got in, and he said, you know, I had no idea that you had a radio show. Well, I'm kind of pretty pumped up at this point. Paddy Chayefsky.
Yeah.
Knows. I said, oh, have you been listening a long time? He said, I don't listen at all. My wife likes it.
That counts.
So that was, I was inflated and deflated within seconds, Randy.
Such is life in show business, for sure. Yeah, so I'm going to ask a really elementary question. What exactly does a producer do? People know what a director does.
That happens to be a very good question, because these days, depressingly for me, 18 people are listed as a producer, and believe me, most of them do nothing.
Mm.
Some of them in theater write a check, and in film and television, they could be the trainer or the mistress or the girlfriend, or it could be anything. But what a real producer does is to find the property, whether it be a play or a movie script or based on a short story, work and hire the writer, work with the writer, then find the director, then work with the writer and director, then cast the play or movie is, cast it with them, and then hopefully be involved on the set if needed, and afterwards very involved in the advertising, the marketing, the public relations, and selling of the show. And most importantly, to get it done, you have to raise the money. Everything I've listed except raising the money, I enjoy thoroughly. Raising the money, I really feel I'm walking around with a tin cup. I just don't like it. I try very hard to find somebody who does like it to do it for me, but invariably it ends up on my doorstep. So,
yeah, that would be my worst part, too, if I were a producer.
It's the worst. Yeah. It's the worst. And it doesn't get better with age, unlike wine.
I gotcha. I gotcha. So let's talk for a minute about In the Spirit. Now, of course, you have a long list of credits and things you've produced. So this is a movie that was made in 1990. It's got Elaine May and her daughter and Marlo Thomas. Like, what do you remember about making the film? Like, the good parts and maybe something that, let's just call it, challenging. How was it to make this film?
The good parts was to be able to work with close friends, to call up and say, hey, let's do a movie. Let's do a movie almost like Mickey and Judy, Mickey Rooney.
In the barn.
Let's see if we can do a movie together. And we ended up with Peter Falk and Olympia Dukakis and Melanie Griffith, plus Elaine and Marlo and Jeannie Berlin, her daughter, as you said. So that was a great thing, to round up, you know, the usual suspects and hope that you could have a movie you'd be proud of. The tough part was not having enough money. And what had happened was, I was very close to the co-president of Warner Brothers named Terry Semel. And I said to Terry, you know, you guys are really spending so much money. You make spending millions and millions, and I'm going to do a movie for peanuts, and that's the way peanuts should be done. And he said, well, let me know how you feel at the end. I said, okay. And at the end, he was right. I'd never, ever do that again, because it probably took a couple of years of my life putting it, you know, doing it, because of the fact that when you have no money and you have a fair amount of name people, there's going to be a lot of problems and a lot of pressure. They were not used to not having a trailer, for example. I mean, there were so many things that they had to endure, and of course, I was the responsible party.
Julian Schlossberg will be at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington this Sunday at 2:30 p.m. For more information, visit WSHU.org. For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio at WSHU.org or with the new and improved WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Tomorrow, May 31st, is the last day of early bird registration for WSHU's trip to Ireland this fall. Join reporter Davis Donovan and classical music host Emily Boyer for a journey of story and song. Now, you can sign up for the trip after the early bird registration period ends, but you won't get that discounted price. So check it out at WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. As always, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day and have a wonderful weekend.